Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Federal policies have created a great amount of confusion across the country, particularly among organizations that rely on federal funding to support local programs. Here in Southern Oregon, the Area Agency on Aging is part of the Rogue Valley Council of Governments in Jackson and Josephine counties. It provides care to the region's population of elderly and disabled residents. Joining me in the studio are two representatives. John Pfefferly is the nutrition director at Food and Friends. Welcome.
Thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Monique Clark is the supervisor of senior and disability services. Welcome.
Thank you.
So let's start with some insight into the work that you both do. Monique?
So our senior and disability services as a one of the departments under our AAA with the Area Agency on Aging, and we provide a wide array of services and programs, as well as working in collaboration and co-administering programs with other entities like the Senior and Disability Services Office, Aging and People Disabilities, the Oregon Department of Human Services.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so all of this is under the Rogue Valley Council of Governments.
Rogue Valley Council of Governments. So Rogue Valley Council of Governments is a organization that provides a wide array of services outside of the AAA is just part of what we do. We are a voluntary membership organization, and we help. We have a lot of different departments that are underneath that umbrella. So,
okay, for the Area Agency on Aging, it's you too.
That's correct.
Correct. Okay. Yes.
And so, John, tell me about the work you do.
So, I'm the nutrition program director for Food and Friends. We are the Meals on Wheels and Senior Meals program that serves Jackson and Josephine County. We are a Meals on Wheels America program member. So, we are part of the larger network of Meals on Wheels programs in America. We provide home-delivered meals for older adults 60 years or older and eligible adults with disabilities on 62 routes throughout both counties. And we have 10 dining centers that operate Monday through Friday. Most of them do. That serve lunch to older adults 60 and older that are welcome to come have lunch with us for a suggested donation of $3 per meal. No one's ever turned away for inability to pay.
Okay. And so I'm confused about how the structure of the Rogue Valley Council of Governments is set up.
I can answer that, I think. So RVCOG is a voluntary association of cities, counties, and special purpose districts with a distinct region serving as planning, coordination, program development, and service delivery organizations. We promote regional cooperation and provide services and resources that might not otherwise be affordable or available to local governments. The local Area Agency on Aging is part of the Rogue Valley Council of Governments. The Area Agency on Aging provides a range of services to help older adults live safe, healthy, and independent lives. Within RVCOG, there's the AAA, and that's Senior and Disability Services and the Nutrition Department.
Okay.
Other departments within the Rogue Valley Council of Governments are Transportation, Land Use and Planning, Natural Resources, Technology Services, and then Member Services. And then under Member Services, which are the jurisdictions that pay in for our services that are part of Rogue Valley Council of Governments, we offer grant writing and administration, IT support services, accounting and human resources, among other items.
Okay, so this is a pretty significantly large operation.
Yes and no. We are a mighty team of less than 50.
A few people.
I think, yeah. For the whole, for the whole COG, I think there is less than 50 employees currently. We might be right at 50, but we have a broad touch, but we're relatively unknown.
Okay, and so where are you located physically?
Our main office is located in Central Point. And we also have staff that remote or are in satellite offices. Food and Friends is located in the State Street office of Adult and People with Disabilities. And we have staff that are also located in the Grants Pass Adult and People with Disabilities office.
Okay, so that's in Josephine County.
Yes.
Yeah. We also have satellite staff at meal sites and at the Josephine County Senior Resource Center in Grants Pass.
Okay, so how many residents do you reach across the Rogue Valley with your services?
So for senior nutrition, within a given year, we can probably serve about 2,500 adults each year in our program. There usually isn't 2,500 going at one time, but throughout a fiscal year, we will serve about 2,500 older adults in our service area, so in Jackson and Josephine County.
Okay.
For the senior and disability services, we have case managers that work in multiple programs, and so they can carry caseloads of from 25 to 45 people in each program. In addition to that, we have the Aging and Disability Resource Connection, and that program takes calls from both counties, sometimes from areas outside of our two counties that we serve, and they probably take, I'm going to say, you know, 40 to 50 calls a day and give resources and information and make referrals out from that program. So all in all, with about five case managers, we probably are serving about 300 to 400 people on a regular basis.
Okay.
Can I add to that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So when you think about it, in Jackson and Josephine County, the older adult population is about 30% in each county. So the population that we serve is a drop in the bucket. And so we are kind of limited on resources. And so we maintain our sustainability by serving as many individuals as we can with the resources that we're given, but we are not meeting the need in our region.
So you're saying the need is exponentially larger.
Much larger.
Than the services you can provide because of your constraints.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're correct. So we do rely on community partners to help bridge that gap.
My guests are John Pfefferly, the Nutrition Program Director at Food and Friends, and Monique Clark, a Supervisor of Senior and Disability Services at the Rogue Valley Council of Governments Area Agency on Aging. So tell me a little bit more about the people you serve. Give me a sense of who they are.
So we serve folks that are 18 and older. Usually programs are kind of parted out into adults with disabilities. So those are the 19 to 59 age group, and then the 60 and over age group. Some of our programs require that you're over 55 or over 60. Every program has its own, unfortunately, has its own criteria, which can make it a little confusing, but that's why we're there to answer those questions when people are looking for services. We provide all of the Older American Act programs that are required under that act, include supportive services, so like information and referral for the Aging and Disability Resource Connection phone line, in-home services, homemaker and chore services.
Now, when you say in-home services, what are we talking about? What does that look like?
It can be as simple as coming in and helping somebody with grocery shopping or doing personal care for a person who's bedbound. Every case is different and every care level is different. So some of the programs that we offer provide those types of services, and then other programs are designed more towards the family caregiver. So a person who is giving the care needs as much help as the person who's receiving the care often.
Absolutely.
And so those programs provide respite and caregiver training and caregiver support. And there's funds to help with those types of programs.
And with Food and Friends?
With Food and Friends. So could I talk a little bit more about the Older American Act?
Yes.
Okay. So that's the act that came about in 1965, and it was the first federal level initiative aimed at providing comprehensive services for older adults. So the Older American Act's target age is 60 years and older for the services that Monique just discussed. Medicaid services would be a different bucket of funding that's available to us, so we're able to serve those with disabilities under 60 years old. So Older American Act would be 60 years and older. Medicaid would be under 60. And so with the nutrition programs for the Older American Act, they're designed to reduce hunger and food insecurity, promote socialization of older adults, to promote the health and well-being of older adults through nutrition services, disease prevention, and health promotions, to delay the onset of adverse health conditions and help them maintain their independence. And so our target with older American Act population, those 60 years and older, is to provide nutrition services for those who are suffering from isolation, loneliness, that live in rural communities, mm-hmm. That are unable to prepare meals or shop for themselves. And so we help provide the nutrition services for them. We also, and so this would be like for home delivery. So for the Meals on Wheels program, 60 years or older and unable to shop or prepare meals due to illness, injury, or disability, mm-hmm. We're not just providing nutrition services. We're helping ease the onset of loneliness and isolation by sending volunteers out into the public to deliver these meals and provide a safety check up to 5 days a week. And our volunteers are probably the heart of our organization.
That's a lot of activity. How many volunteers do you have?
At a given time, about 350 volunteers helping keep the big wheel of our program going. That's both at our meal sites and delivering Meals on Wheels.
So they're delivering the meals and they're providing some sort of relationship.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. They're building relationships. They're checking in. They're reporting back to us if there are safety concerns. And we're able to reach out to emergency contacts, to family members, if needed, to Adult Protective Services, or to have local police enforcement go out and do a safety check at the home if we think that that's needed.
Okay. So it sounds like you have a broad range of scope of services, but you mentioned that the need is exponentially larger. Can you give me a sense of what the need is, and how do you know that?
Well, I know because we have a wait list, which is a very unfortunate thing to have, and I shouldn't be laughing about that because it's not something that a program wants. So with the Older American Act funding, there is a certain amount of individuals that we're able to serve to remain sustainable within our funding scope. And so when we hit a max, either our route is full or a region is full, we have to place individuals on a wait list until someone else comes off of the Older American Act service so we can bring somebody else on.
How do people come off of the service?
So let's say I am a hospital discharge and I'm coming out and I just had I took a fall and I had surgery and they're giving me about a 4-week recovery period. And so that you come on to our nutrition plan for home delivered meals for that 4-week recovery period.
Gotcha.
And then we'll check in with you again at the end of those 4 weeks to see if we need to continue providing meals. And if so, we set another date. And if not, you then sunset off of the program and then we're allowed to bring somebody else who needs services in.
And you're saying you have a long wait list.
We currently have worked through our initial wait list that we developed in the fall, but now we are seeing that going into next fiscal year with the changes in funding or the unknown changes in funding that our wait list will grow. However, with Medicaid services, those individuals, it's built into their Medicaid service plan. So that would be those receiving meals that are under 60 years old or on Medicaid. And we provide those services for them through a reimbursement plan.
Okay, I want to get into that after the break because I have some questions about Medicaid and the qualifications, all that.
I hope I can answer those.
But when we talk about wait lists, Monique, if people are disabled or they're shut in, I mean, they can't wait.
Well, typically, we try to resource or try to find other community supports that can try to help to buffer that while a person is waiting for services. But we are, we're only able to provide the services that, we can within our budget. And so we've developed, hopefully what we call a sweet spot in the number of hours we can provide under that budget to help the most people possible. So, and provide the most needed services. So even if there's multiple services that we can use under the program funds, we try to identify what are the greatest needs in our area and focus on those needs. And so we cannot always help everyone, but we're able to provide as much as we can.
Okay. Well, we'll take a short break. My guests are John Pfefferly, the Nutrition Program Director at Food and Friends, and Monique Clark, a Supervisor of Senior and Disability Services at the Rogue Valley Council of Governments Area Agency on Aging. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guests are John Pfefferly, the Nutrition Program Director at Food and Friends, and Monique Clark, a Supervisor of Senior and Disability Services at the Rogue Valley Council of Governments Area Agency on Aging. Before the break, we were talking about a wide plethora of the program services you all offer and the waiting lists, unfortunately. But let's talk about some of the costs that are involved in delivering your services. John?
So initially, when the Older American Act was established, it provided 100% of the resources needed for the states to run these programs. It has not kept up with inflation since then. So as inflation's gone up, the Older American Act has kind of like crept up next to it in a very slow glacial pace. When it comes to funding for the nutrition services, we get two buckets. The Older American Act is kind of in silos of funding, so you'll get certain funding for certain programs. We get C1 and C2 funding. That's what it's called. C1 is for congregate dining. That would be our dining centers that we run. Mm-hmm. And C2 is for home delivery. We get a significant amount more of the congregate funding, the C1 funding, than we do for home delivery. Yet the need for home delivery is higher than the need for congregate funding. But at the end of the year, we're allowed to transfer over a certain percentage of that funding to help bridge that gap.
And so this funding is coming from Congress?
So it comes from Congress, and then it's given to the State Unit on Aging, mm-hmm. and then it's transferred to the different area agencies on aging to help facilitate the program.
Okay, so it's filtered through the state.
It's filtered through,
and
yeah.
it comes down.
Yeah,
and
correct.
It's in two buckets: one for people who can dine in,
yes.
and for those who are
homebound.
Homebound.
Yeah,
and you're saying that the money for those who can dine in is much larger.
It is much larger. So we receive more funding for congregate dining than we do for home delivery, and that's been historic.
Okay. But the trend for home delivery has grown.
Correct. Yeah. So there's insufficient funding for the home delivery. In a perfect world, I think I would like to wish for one bucket of funding that can just be used program-wide.
That sounds reasonable. Why isn't that a solution?
So I think that at our level, so we're like down, we're the ancillary. So I always think of it as like the ancillary veins, trying to send the information to the veins that will bring it to the arteries, that will bring it to the heart, which is like getting the information to the top of the state of Oregon. So then it's then brought to Congress. And so it's just when I am asked what would be beneficial for your programs, I'm quite honest, and I say one bucket of money or switch the buckets if you're not okay with one bucket and make C2 funding the higher amount than the C1 funding. Mm-hmm. But also let's try and keep up with inflation so we can help bridge the gap in the need.
And people at the closer to the ground that are have proximity to the problem should have the flexibility.
We should.
Shouldn't they?
That's what you would think. But it's there's just yeah, I don't know how it works. Yeah,
well, I think we also look at, you know, at where we live. So we live in Southern Oregon. We are we cover a vast area, and the population is more sparsely, you know, distributed. And we the type of folks that we serve here, this is a lot of people that are over the age of 60 or adults with disabilities or even people between 19 and 59 with disabilities. Where if you live in Portland, you've got, you know, a much larger populace there, and it is so the level of services and level of funding that will go to that area will be greater than what we will get here. And so we sometimes the bucket of money that will come to the state of Oregon might be substantial, but how it's distributed within the state can vary because of the services or the per capita, you know, type of.
Right, and if you're dealing with a rural region, then delivering those services,
correct,
and that in itself has its own speed bumps because we, you know, it's about trying to get to people or getting people to come to services. It can be more difficult. So we're faced with other barriers that maybe, the large cities may not have issues with.
Correct.
Okay, so tell me about the Medicaid part. Where does that come in?
So with Medicaid, so just so you know, so with the federal and state for my program, so our budget is about $3.2 million right now for going into the next fiscal year, blindfolded, because we don't know what our actual funding is going to be.
Right.
But we've created our budget based on expectations. And so 52% of that funding is what we receive from the federal government and the states. And so that's what we're getting via the Older American Act. And about 29% of our funding is through Medicaid reimbursement. So those are the meals that we're providing for those older adults with disabilities that are on Medicaid services. And then we get about 3% of our funding through local governments. So like the counties, the city of Medford, Central Point, Ashland, Eagle Point, the jurisdictions that help support the program. And then about 16% of our budget is through private donations. We do two funding mailers a year to help raise funds for the program through program income, which is the donations our participants make towards their meals. And we write a lot of grants to private organizations and private funders.
Okay, and that's just for the food and nutrition?
That's just for nutrition, yeah.
Now, what does that look like on your side, Monique?
So I couldn't tell you off the top of my head what our budget is for the coming biennium or fiscal year. But for a couple of our programs, I know that have been largely impacted. Our Oregon Project Independence program was purely funded through the state of Oregon. And
tell me what that is, Oregon Project Independence.
So it was a program that's designed to provide services to folks that are older than 60 years old or 19 to 59 with a disability. It provided in-home care for up to 6 hours a week, and it included home-delivered meals if they were on between the 19 to 59 range. So we would get that from Food and Friends and sign them up for that. It also included some ancillary services. So it could be chore services or what you might call a muck out. If somebody had a really big issue around their home for safety that we needed to help with, maybe cutting shrubs back so they could enter and exit the home safely, those kinds of things. So with all of that, that program itself, we were able to serve. We had a large wait list, and we were able to serve over 100 people on a regular basis in that program. Mm-hmm. So the in March 1st, a program called Oregon Project Independence Medicaid, which is a fantastic bridge for in services, allows for some Medicaid funds to be used to leverage the state funds. So a lot of the dollars that were used for our classic OPI program have been moved over to that new program, and our classic program is now coming into the new biennium will be 24% of its former budget. What that means is that folks who don't qualify for the Medicaid version will only be able to get care from this other program, but we're not going to be able to serve very many people.
So they go on a wait list.
If they don't qualify. Right.
Okay. So talk to me about Medicaid. What's the qualifications for that?
We don't do the full Medicaid long-term care, but I can basically you have about a $2,000 asset limit in that program, income and asset limit, and you can have some assets, you can have a home, you can have things like that. But if you go into full services, they do something called a state recovery, where the state or the federal government has, you know, the ability to recoup some of the costs that they're using to pay for your care. So if a person passes away, or they can assess some of those assets, like putting a lien on a home and getting some of that money back into the coffers to help other people.
So Medicaid is really to help people at the lowest level of the economic ladder.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then right now there's public policy around Medicaid that potentially it could be cut.
Correct, which is very unfortunate.
Well, right now, I mean, from what I'm hearing, we don't know. Because what I'm hearing is that there's not any exact information that is talking about certain programs that will be cut or so that, I don't know, do you have some other?
So with what's happening right now with the federal government that I do know is that with Older American Act funding, we've been, and this is just a leaked document, stated that there would be flatline funding going into the next biennium. So flatline funding means the same resources that were made available to us for the last biennium, which would be the 23-24 fiscal years, is now going to be offered to us in the coming fiscal years. The 24-25. And so going into 26-27, we'll receive the same resources. It's very exciting to know that we will still receive funding, but we also know that that funding's not keeping up with how much it's cost to run these programs.
And you talked about the need growing.
Correct.
But now the budget is flatlining.
Yes. Right. And then with Medicaid, we don't have answers. We just keep hearing that Medicaid, they want to make major cuts to Medicaid and to the Medicaid plans and make some changes. But we still don't know what those are, and we may not know until the federal budget is released in October. We're hoping that we're going to find out before then, because our fiscal year starts July 1st.
Yeah, but for the Oregon Project Independence Medicaid program, that program is allowing for people to have much higher income limits and much higher assets. So, for example, the current income limit is set to $5,217 a month as opposed to $2,000 a month.
So you can serve people in need with higher incomes.
Definitely.
That ordinarily would not have been able to access your services.
Right. And they can have up to $94,523 in assets.
Okay.
And their home is not counted, and there is no estate recovery in that program. It provides up to 40 hours a pay period. So 20 hours a week of care opposed to our classic OPI that we were able to serve 6 hours
a week. So that really sounds like that F word you use, fantastic.
Yes. It is. It's definitely a program that's going to be there to bridge a great need, but we're still dealing with that cut, you know, in the other program, which is going to really limit our ability to serve people who don't fall into this category.
Okay. So what are you hearing from local residents? What are their concerns? What are their questions?
So we, at the beginning when cuts were being threatened to Meals on Wheels in general, we got some calls from participants and volunteers asking if our program is shutting down, and it's not. We're going to keep going. That's we have not received any messaging that we need to stop the work that we're doing, so we're going to continue to do the good work that we're doing. And just so we're not sitting here all doom and gloom, like, we recognize that our successes come in the people that we serve. We're providing meals for people from Ashland to Shady Cove to Rogue River up to Wolf Creek and down to Cave Junction, Selma. So we're hitting rural communities, providing meals for older adults that need these meals. And we're hearing that our program is helping because they call us and they let us know. We get great stories from our volunteers. The participants will call us and thank you or send us little cards and messages just letting them know how much our program has helped them gain weight, get more energy, feel more independent. So even though there are these looming cuts to the programming, we're still going full speed ahead to provide these services for the people that need them to as many that we can.
So success, you see it directly in the faces of people that you serve.
Every day, yeah.
And what does that look like on your side, Monique?
I'm going to mirror that. We've received many calls and inquiries about whether or not they're still going to have their programs. People are very worried about it. And we also get calls on our Aging and Disability Resource Connection line asking the same questions. What we are telling them is, as of right now, we're going along with the status quo, and we're going to keep providing services the way we are. And if we are going to face any cuts in the future, we're going to work that out and find other ways to get funding to continue to provide services the best way we can.
And how do you both work with churches and philanthropic organizations like the United Way?
We receive grant funding to the United Way to help us provide meals for our program. We work with local churches. So in Shady Cove, a church provides space for our drivers to meet our volunteers to hand off meals. Prior to the pandemic, we did have some meal sites in churches, and unfortunately those closed due to the pandemic. We work with other community organizations to help provide fresh produce, to help supplement people's what they have in their home pantry besides the meals that we provide.
Okay, well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thank you both.
Thank you for inviting us. It's been a pleasure.
My guests were John Pfefferly, the Nutrition Program Director at Food and Friends, and Monique Clark, a Supervisor of Senior and Disability Services at the Rogue Valley Council of Governments Area Agency on Aging.